Morning, honourable members and guests. We have to stop. Once again, unfortunately, Jefferson Gina is committed somewhere else this morning and won't be able to join us. We have to now, once again, elect an acting chairperson for the session and we'll call up nominations. Nominations from the floor. Honourable Cross.
Thank you. I am nominated the Honourable Mukoto, which one is here already to the chairman.
Thank you, Honourable Sir. Can I have a second for that, please? Honourable Guni.
So to the fact that she returns the chair to me when she goes up, I second.
Thank you. If there's not any further nomination, I'll call upon Honourable Mukoto to take the chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Maybe let me take the time to thank you for once more giving me the confidence to chair this meeting. Today we are having this portfolio committee meeting to talk to the department and get it to account on the basis of the national strategy on learner attainment. And so we are all aware that there are issues that have been raised throughout the year and throughout the sector with regard to this issue of learner attainment. And I think today, as the portfolio committee, we get that opportunity to interact with the department to make sure that whatever the expectations that you have with regard to the program, they are being implemented, to understand the challenges, the strengths that they are having with regard to implementing this program. What are the targets that they have set and how are they going to realize those objectives in this current year? So the delegation from the department is led by DDG Mr. Mweli and his team from the National Department. Without any further ado, I would like to take this opportunity to welcome you to the Portfolio Committee and give you an opportunity again to introduce your colleagues and give us a presentation. We much more want to welcome our regular members from the NGO sector who are always keeping us company in this portfolio. Thank you. Honorable Mwe.
Honourable Jefferson, I'm not sure whether the reference is with me, but as I indicated before, the ambitions are not there to become honourable one day. Honourable members of the Portfolio Committee and colleagues, I would like to profusely tender the apology of the Minister and the Deputy Minister who are unable to be part of this meeting because of other commitments, including finalizing preparations for presenting the budget vote to the NCOP this afternoon. The same goes for the acting DG, and I'll just like to take this opportunity to introduce the two colleagues. The colleague on my left is Mrs. Marie-Louise Samuels, the director responsible for early childhood development and at the moment the caretaker manager also for curriculum for general education training. And then next to Mrs. Samuels is Elspeth Tembo. Elspeth is responsible for math science and technology. She's the manager responsible for that. That's the team, and then apart from that we have Mr. Mahara. Mr. Mahara is the parliamentary officer based in Cape Town, and Mr. Van Letter, who's also the parliamentary officer based in the ministry, serving the two offices of the minister and the deputy. And that's the delegation from the department. Thank you.
Just for record purposes, I don't have a problem. I'm sure it is needed to discuss this, but we did not, and you mentioned in your opening about the learner attainment, but not on the agenda, and we see this thick document as we walk in. And I'm sure we'll catch up, but okay, but just, I'm sure we'll pick up, but just take note of your slide today.
I think the email version, if I sent through electronic mail. But as we get your consent on that, members, let's take it in an extra, because I think that we can't deal with the issues of curriculum without really touching on learner attainment. So I think it would be proper for us to juxtapose the two documents. Let's try and go through them. If at all there is a need for us to have another session to deal specifically with this one, we'll request this around to find a way in which that can be accommodated in our program. So for today, let's agree that we are not going to discard it from the agenda. We are just going to have it at a point of reference within the discussions of today. I will give back to the department to proceed with their presentation.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. In fact, the implementation of the curriculum is based on the National Strategy for Learner Attainment. Blow by blow, right from indicator one up to the last indicator. In other words, the presentation is reporting against the document. The document is the flag, and then the presentation is the report to give us a sense as to what progress have you made in implementing the plan throughout the sector. Chairperson, this is the outline of the presentation. As you would know that it is usually my intention not to go blow by blow through slides, but to speak to them, because I assume that the presentation is before honorable members. But I'll do my best to highlight the key areas from the slide. Well, the purpose is to provide progress, as indicated from the directive of the portfolio committee, that they'd like to get progress with respect of monitoring curriculum implementation. So that's what this presentation is about, and the core of it is of course the implementation of the National Strategy for Learner Attainment. Maybe just to indicate as we get into the problem statement, that all provinces align their plans to the National Strategy for Learner Attainment. And that we are certain before the ensuing academic year, and we finalize it beginning of the academic year. As you would see from the presentation, that we even had a workshop beginning of the year in January, towards the end of January, to firm up the plan, to confirm whether provincial plans are in line with the national plan. And furthermore, the first quarterly report, it's about making sure that plans are aligned through the national strategy, plans are focusing on the right areas. In terms of the problem statement, the first few bullets are just saying we have indeed made progress in respect of access, redress and equity, and I think we all agree on that. And we have started making some progress in the area of quality and dealing with inefficiency. But we've not managed to overcome challenges in those areas. So that's why we're saying a lot still needs to be done in these two areas. But in respect of the three, I think we are all agreed that a lot of work has been done. There's commendable progress that has been recorded. We have also seen an upward trend in the improvement of our learning outcomes. Of course, coming from a low base, although we still remain behind, if we compare us internationally and to some extent regionally and so on, but there's a sustained improvement in all the tests and the surveys that, that have been conducted. There's an acknowledgement from the National Development Plan that the goals, the targets that are set in the Action Plan 2014, which has now changed to the Action Plan 2019 towards schooling 2030, are indeed stretched. In other words, they are very high goals and objectives. But however, the NDP went further to raise the target even higher. And therefore, the National Strategy for Learner Attainment becomes very central in making sure that we deliver on this target. And I thought it would be just useful to depart quite importantly from the performance of 2014 and indicate what we intend to do as we move forward. And we look at the performance of 86 districts as broken down the province in the manner that's indicated there. Starting with the Eastern Cape, ideally what we want to see is that the performance in your general education and training plan must tie with your performance in the further education and training plan. In other words, performance in your grade R up to grade 9 must be in tandem with the performance in grade 10 to grade 12. Now, I'm saying that cautiously because the data and the experts will tell you that it's a big ask, because from grade 10 to grade 12 are actually a group of learners who have been carefully, if you like, skimmed from the rest, or who have been sort of selected in such a way that they would perform much better than those at the bottom. And the system does that through assessment, of course. Which means that your assessment standards do not have the same rigor. So assessment standards in the FET then do not have the same rigor as the assessment standards in your general education training then. And I'm sure honorable members can confirm that as well. So what we want to see eventually is that this is your ANA result. This is your National Senior Certificate result. And remember, National Senior Certificate begins from grade 10. That's why we call it NQF Level 4. It doesn't begin in grade 12. Grade 12 is the exit point. So ideally what we want to see happening is that all of these districts must move towards the right in the upper quadrant here. And you will see there are two provinces that are doing quite well in moving in that direction. And at the moment, the Eastern Cape, you can see the 23 districts are still all over the place, and there's a huge imbalance between your ANA results and National Senior Certificate. Free State, very good improvement from your lower grade in terms of ANA, catching up towards the National Senior Certificate. As you can see, unlike the Eastern Cape, you can see that the first district is already there where it should be, and the rest of these three must follow and move in this direction and move upward. And when that happens, it means that the health of the system is indeed being attained. How can the film, how can it be a very good example of what we want provinces to do? Moving towards balancing performance in your lower grade with the performance of your upper grade, as you can see here. And the data analysis also shows that the majority of the districts, you can see, are moving towards the right, and of course this will still remain behind, but they also need to move in that direction to get housing where it should be. KwaZulu-Natal, a very big province, and very close performance between AMA and National Senior Certificate, of course, the main reason being they are not one of your top performing provinces in your federal education and training plans. And therefore, you need to pull both the lower grade and your upper grade towards the right. And of course, the data shows that as well in terms of the analysis, a couple of districts moving in the right direction, but others still remaining in the lower end of the scale. Limpopo is doing very well in the upper grade, doing very bad in the lower grade. The foundation doesn't look good. We don't know what is the problem there, but as soon as learners move towards the upper grade, they do exceptionally well. And Limpopo does not necessarily have, you know, out of the ordinary interventions in the upper grade, but they tend to do extremely well in the upper grade. But in the lower grade, in terms of the ANA result, you can see the Mills report, I mean, is the same, the teams is the same, it's a province that has not been doing well in the lower grade. And the data shows there as well. Mpumalanga is picking up quite nicely, both in the upper grades and lower grades. And I'm sure more often than not, we've shared with the portfolio committee quite very interesting interventions and strengthening accountability measures at the level of Mpumalanga and so on. And we think that that's just beginning to pay off. Mpumalanga is one of the few provinces that have experienced an upward trend for 4 to 5 years, just going up, both in your lower grade and upper grade. So there are very good lessons coming from Mpumalanga, which we think many provinces can learn. Of course, the analysis here doesn't favor it much, understandably so, because they come from a lower base. And as they continue to improve, we're quite confident that the analysis will begin to follow in terms of plotting them towards the right. Northwest also a bit lopsided, doing outstandingly well in the upper grade, but not so well in the lower grade. The lower grade pulling in quite slowly there, but as you can see, because there are only 4 districts there, the data analysis favors them. 3 out of 4 of their districts are moving in the right direction, following in the footsteps of Gauteng and Western Cape, which are giving a very good trend. Northern Cape, it's one province, in fact, when we talk about it, people in the Northern Cape like saying that they had the experience of all 9 positions in terms of their performance in grade 12 results. So sometimes they are up, sometimes they are down, both in terms of the ANA result and the National Senior Certificate. And of course, you can see that the data favors them. Only 4 districts, the weakest link there being, you know, the district that is right at the bottom there, in fact, 5 districts, being the one that is right at the bottom there. Western Cape, as I said, Western Cape and Gauteng are very good examples that other provinces can emulate. The lower grade picking up quite nicely. Moving towards the performance of the upper grade National Senior Certificate, as you can see, and the data beginning to consolidate, also moving towards the right, and hopefully in 2 hours we'll get a very clear picture of what is happening. And this is the consolidated picture, as you can see, all the 9 provinces. And just to share, in concluding this part of just looking at performance from last year to this year, that the combination of the National Senior Certificate for the month of November last year and the supplementary exams this year, giving an improved picture of performance. All provinces have improved. As you can see, the highest improved being the Northern Cape, of course, followed by Limpopo and so on. So those are the improvements in there. And what is interesting is that when Gauteng was number one in the National Senior Certificate last year with a supplementary result added to last year's result, then Northwest becomes number one. But I must just caution that Northwest has got this tendency, even last year, in 2013 when 6-8 was number one, after the supplementary exams, Northwest became number one. But they have a tendency to pull back when it goes to them really showing the true color that they are able to keep position one. They've assured us this time around that come end of 2015, they want to maintain position one. And this is just the changes in terms of the certificate, diploma, and bachelor's, and combination of both. The figures showing there, we nearly got to a percentage of 2013 of 78%. We came very close to getting there, but this is the summary of how we improved if we combine supplementary exams and the end of the year results. Well, as I indicated in my opening remarks, that the first quarter is really your on your marks, get set, ready, go. And we determine the state of readiness of provinces. And the first thing that we did, as I indicated earlier on, was to look at provincial plans and after that follow through by going on provincial oversight visits, share with provinces on what they need to do, informed by the engagements during the quarter of January, and also making sure that we strengthen provincial plans. And the focus here really, as I indicated earlier on, is to make sure that provincial plans are aligned to the national plan, is to increase focus on the implementation and monitoring and support provinces. Make sure that we strengthen accountability up to the classroom level and therefore make sure that our strategies are entrenched even in provincial plans up to the level of the school. That's the intention. And we then have to carry out roadshows as part of follow-up and carrying out the directive of CEM and sharing the information from the diagnostic reports both from ANA and the National Senior Certificate for 2014. And we visited 8 out of the 9 provinces. The province that we could not visit was not available for us. And of course, as indicated, we share national priorities and make sure that there's synergy between what provinces are doing and what is in the plan, driving the national efforts. And after that, then provinces would of course amend their plans accordingly and then feedback to us. We then planned follow-up meetings. Such meetings are happening as we speak. There's a team in KZN, and they're supposed to go to Limpopo. Unfortunately, officials are not available there, so we have to reschedule. And these meetings are planned to easy touch selected districts. This is a primary school and a secondary school, as always advised by Honorable Members. And this is how the first meetings unfolded. The teams from DVP, led by DVGs, as you can see, and I've already indicated that we visited 9 provinces. The officials that we met, for some provinces, for I think out of 9 provinces, 5 of the provinces had to experience an engagement up to district level. In other words, your 5
lowest performing provinces. We went up to district level to engage with subject advisors on diagnostic reports and get district officials also feeding back to us in terms of their plans, analyzing what is in their plans, checking whether it's in line with what is expected of them. That is Barin, Gauteng, Northwest, Free State, and of course Western Cape. We could only experience a one-day engagement at provincial level, given the fact that those provinces are really moving as principal players with the rest. I'll then pass this one of the provincial roadshows and go to this one of the 1+4. After we reached an agreement with unions in terms of 1+4, we then went out to provinces to make sure that we shared a common understanding of what 1+4 involves and so on. We covered again all the, out of the 9, we covered 8 provinces. And Western Cape was again not available because of the engagements. And the intention was to make sure that what is to be implemented is well understood by not only officials who attend our meetings, but also officials such as subject advisors who are entrusted with responsibility of implementing the intervention in the senior base, focusing on grade 8 this year. The NSLA, I've indicated that we had a workshop beginning of the year to look at provincial plans. And then after that, we took this to EFCON and eventually to CEM where it, the plan got approved. And then we also had EFCON and CEM endorsing dates for submission as well as how the plan has been reworked and strengthened. Of course, EFCON requested further extension to allow provinces to make further input and further accommodate it. And eventually two provinces essentially made input. Western Cape made substantial input, and then Mpumalanga just commented by in terms of the fourth water that we might have to reconsider whether we need the quarterly report for the first quarter, for the fourth quarter, given the fact that it encroaches into the ensuing academic year. The reworked national strategy for learner attainment, the focus was to make sure that we address issues related to underperformance in the system and also make sure that we improve on overall learner performance in line with the Action Plan 2019 towards schooling 2030. And this is essentially how the revision happens in the plan. The main focus was taking a differentiated approach in providing support to underperforming provinces, because we get to learn that although we're running a national system, districts are not the same, provinces are not the same, even schools are not the same. They are not exactly, they've got different contexts, challenges and so on, so the approach has got to be differentiated. And one important factor was this time focusing firmly on learners with special education needs. If you look at our plans, there's an explicit dedication in terms of learners with special education needs, providing support to them, making sure that officials visit and give us data and feedback on what they are getting from schools of learners with special education needs, including activities that are related to even training and development of teachers who teach in schools of learners with special education needs. The other one is girl learner intervention in terms of math, science and technology, which is very important in directly and specifically addressing disparities of our history, and making sure that girl learners are supported adequately to perform or to be available to provide the requisite skills and knowledge in science and technology. and of course addressing weaknesses and gaps which have been identified in the subject profiles. What we did was that for every subject, a group of specialists sat down, looked at the data from ANA, looked at the data from the National Senior Certificate, identified weaknesses, starting with the participation of learners, success rate, looking at the gender profile of the performance and the participation, and setting targets, national targets as well as provincial targets. And these are managed at the level of the subject committees. So they meet with provincial officials on an ongoing basis. They monitor as to the progress that we are making in that respect. And then, of course, the issue of repeating and progress learners in all grades receive focus in part of the plan. And eventually, recommendations of EDCOM are also infused into the document. And as indicated, the inputs made by the Western Cape were carefully considered and then weaved into the document eventually. And in terms of Mpumalanga, we indicated that we will not discuss the fourth quarterly report completely, but some elements of it will be left out. Of course, the strengthened NSLA, the key features of it, is that it provides very clear accountability and performance indicators. It focuses on grade and phase. It also provides a specific focus and support for progressed learners and retained learners. And it also includes a specific area in terms of the 1+4 math and science project for the senior six. Measuring impact is one of the elements of the plan, and of course a differentiated approach. And this is how progression has been made. This is how you know, we revised the document, moving from 2013, 2014, and so on. We can see that our focus has really been growing, including performance indicators. We've been sharpening our performance indicators. We were commended by the AG, in fact, the other day, that the NSLA is a very good example of how performance can be measured in the system, and that you must continue to implement it. Okay, these are the areas that I've already touched, which are specific to new elements of the NSLA that we are implementing this year. Of course, measuring impact, differentiated approach, and then going forward, we also looked at what we call integration of the evidence-based report into the NSLA. The evidence-based report is a report collecting qualitative and quantitative data, which is presented to UMANUSI in June and November as part of evidence to show that we've had interventions in the system and to evaluate the impact of the interventions that we have made, so that when standardization happens, it's not only a game of numbers, but you also consider what we call qualitative inputs, whether the interventions made have made any difference or not. And we start collecting that data beginning of the report in June, and then the last report will be in November. Now, this explains exactly what I just covered. And these are the areas that are covered in the evidence-based report that we present to UMANUSI. The nature of the intervention, the purpose of the intervention, the focus of the intervention. Focus of the intervention would include even specific areas in the syllabus. Total population would include the number of learners who are beneficiaries of this, the number of teachers who are involved in the interventions, and of course the duration. And we also have to measure the contribution in terms of duration from what is allocated in terms of the policy, time allocated per subject, and the additional time that is provided for extra tuition or whatever intervention that you are coming up with. And as I indicated, beneficiaries vis-a-vis targets, And then the impact of the interventions. Pre and post test results are very crucial in this regard. When learners come or before the intervention happens, the learners must seek for an assessment, and then after the intervention on a specific topic, you learner must also you know, be assessed to determine the impact of the intervention. Report on the first quarterly report of the NSLA. These are the reports that were received. As you can see, the date indicated there and the status of the report and so on. These reports were expected on this particular date, and some of them, of course, were received late. And then what was also presented to the meeting of the ECOM subcommittee had to follow these guidelines to give a brief outline on what the provincial improvement plan covers. The same issues that I spoke to earlier on, checking whether the plans are in line, and those are really intended to, we intended to. 8 out of 9 provinces presented their reports. Eastern Cape did not pitch and did not send their reports. And the majority, of course, of the provinces, we did indicate to them and wrote to HOD that some of the crucial areas of what we expected them to report on were really not covered. And this is an example of how provinces would even report on progress learners. As you can see, this is a breakdown in terms of the Free State per district constitutes for first year Dali, 26% literally put 30% Motel 29% etc. You'd have the data if you get into individual provincial reports. And this is for Gauteng, and this is broken down as you can see there per district, and it shows what quantum of it is if you compare with the total number of grade 12 learners. KZN has got about 19,000 of such learners, and there's a specific support program for them. Limpopo, those are the figures for their progress learners, broken down to districts. There's also a specific focus on them. The main reason is that we don't want provinces to only come back after the results have been released to say, the reason why we didn't perform as expected is because we had progress learners. We said you must know, in fact, ECOM said, pick up all your repeating learners from grade 1 up to grade 12 and tell us what you are doing about them, because you need to provide support. As you remember, honorable members, I said in the past that the notion of progressing learners is not unique to South Africa. It's not even new in South Africa. Learners used to be condoned. Our major weakness is around support, providing the requisite support to individual learners. And that's what we are trying to get provinces to do. Pay attention to these learners to support them right from the beginning of the year. And I even said to them, you must know them by name and surname. Know them like you know your children. Where these learners are located, and make sure that you monitor what's been done to support them. Mpumalanga, of course, this is what they are doing in terms of progress learners. Northern Cape, this is the audit that they carried out in respect of progress learners. And it goes on, an analysis of checking them, very good lessons coming out of what provinces are doing. I mean, provinces like Northern Cape, Gauteng, and Northwest, where you even get parents involved, parents trying for accepting that their children are progress learners and placing their support in making sure that they're at school all the time, and even going further than that, they're being prepared to even assist the school to supervise and support the learners, which is what has been happening in Gauteng and Northwest in particular. And these are the progress learners from the Northwest, broken down there, as you can see. Special interventions that are prepared for these learners, a total of 3,365 learners in the Northwest. which is quite a big group compared to the previous years. And we said the best way is to make sure that you know where the centers are and make sure that they are supported. Western Cape, this is the situation in the Western Cape. This is their progressed learners and their special intervention for progressed learners also in the Western Cape. You can see that their numbers have grown. I've seen that their med numbers have grown further. And what becomes crucial is targeted support and intervention for these learners. Yeah, this is the, just to show what Western Cape has been able to provide us with is even the data of monitoring these learners quarter by quarter, which is what we expect all provinces to do. And this is what is coming from the Western Cape in terms of what their target is for 2015 and how these learners are moving towards meeting that target. Pre and post-test. This is in respect of mathematics teachers in Mpumalanga. Data of 1 plus 4, but as I indicated before, we might have to schedule a dedicated session on 1 plus 4 covering all provinces. Honorable members, you can see that the major challenge that we have with our teachers is the main around content knowledge. The McKinsey report states that the quality of education depends on the quality of the teacher. And what 1 plus 4 attempts to do is to address both subject content knowledge and method of teaching pedagogy. And this is what is happening in the 1 plus 4. You can see pre and post, and the situation is quite improving in respect of Mpumalanga. Free State, you can see, I mean, they've indicated the areas that are covered, carrying out an assessment. Our intention is that at the end of it all, the minimum performance of every teacher must be 80%. I'm told that for pilot, it's 80% and up. If you don't get 80%, if you prepare people for life, you have to get the same level as a pilot or even more, because we are preparing people for life. So this is what the results have been able to show from Free State. This is grade 9, this is grade 8, and it shows that 1 plus 4 is indeed working. And some people are saying we should have done this a long time ago. In the Northwest, the same pre- and post-test got the improvement that's coming out from the teachers, showing that our teachers lack quite a lot in subject content knowledge. And that's the area for the next few years that we need to focus on going forward. And then Northern Cape even went further and used this methodology not only for mathematics, even for other subjects, such as languages, such as Africans. They are now subjecting teachers to pre- and post-test so that they are able to determine the impact of your training. Accounting, they also use this for accounting. This is another, you know, an example of second year of pre- and post-test from the Northwest. And these are the overall results of the first term in 2015 in respect of these centers that have been subjected to the interventions in the Northwest. Now quickly, we're also measuring the impact, in fact, of the utilization of ICT, because out of 140 teacher centers that we have in the country, about 60 of them are fully equipped with ICT and are being used as centers to provide support to train teachers and as centers which can get information from the ICT hubs that we use. And these are the kinds of ICT available facilities and information that they can get from these centers. And these are some of the areas that are covered. You can see these are some of the teachers and subject advisors that you find in these 140 centers. The intention is that we should cover, all of them must be fully equipped with ICT and in the next two years or so, all of them will be fully equipped. UNISA and Vodacom are assisting, working with the department to equip these centers. You find them across the country, and I think that when we present 1+4, we'll be able to give you data that shows where the centers are located in provinces. Well, Eastern Cape, this is what Eastern Cape is doing in terms of providing learner support, of course, using also a bit of ICT there, and some of the interventions that they have been providing. Free State is leading in terms of providing support to both learners and teachers using ICT. It's an example in this country, and many provinces are trying to emulate the Free State in providing support to both learners and teachers using ICT. And of course, they work with the Free State University in doing that. They've got what they call the internet-based program, which is used to provide support in these subjects that are indicated here, especially subjects that pose challenges for both teachers and learners. So Free State uses ICT to provide support to both teachers and learners. And that is working very well. We are able to measure the impact of that as well. Okay? Well, the way forward is that we agree that we need to strengthen our coordination, starting from DBE, making sure that all the branches at DBE also work together like a well-oiled machine in providing support and guidance to provinces for the successful implementation of the strategy. And the provinces as well, coordination from the level of provinces must also be strengthened to the extent that provinces would be able to meet their deadlines. And also to make sure that the most senior person is appointed in provincial education department to coordinate the implementation of the plan. It should be somebody who's got easy access to the head of the department. Some departments, provincial education departments responded by appointing the requisite officials. We're still waiting for the 6th, and we are going to have them on the 22nd. We'll be raising this matter with them again. And these are the dates in terms of quarterly report 2, quarterly report 3, and quarterly report 4 that we'll be expecting. From quarterly report 2, honorable members, the picture will become clear. We'll start to know much more better in terms of what is happening in the classroom as we get more and more of this data. The data that we shared with you just gives you a picture of what is beginning to happen. But usually by June, you know whether the results are going to improve or not. The remaining months will be about working on all the weaknesses identified to make sure that you move towards your target. That's the end of the report, Honourable Member. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Murray, for the interesting presentation. I hope members were alert and awake to the presentation that was being given. And you have also noted the points that you would want to raise for clarity or correction that you think the department is not approaching in the right way based on the plans that they have. I would then take the opportunity to give to members to interrogate their presentation. Honorable Love More, Majike, Hosha, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, on the specific slide, slide 32 is the slide, I think, with. It's one of the slides. Oh, sorry, this is the wrong thing. It's one of the slides with the dot chart. It's Northern Cape. Flight 22 is Northern Cape, which shows that there's a very low level of correlation between the ANA results and the National Team Certificate in the one, particularly in the locally standoff, the one particular district. I'm assuming, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that you are working on home language grade 9 ANA results. Or is it an aggregated ANA result, or what is this ANA result actually? It's an ANA partial, but for something. What is your interpretation of this dot? You know, if it is grade 9, and in grade 9 learners are achieving 39%, but in grade 12 learners are achieving 73%, that's a massive difference. What is your interpretation of that dot? What has happened there? What needs to happen? Why don't you please expand on that, explain that dot to me, or to us? In your national strategy for learner attainment, I don't find anything, and I might have missed it, on teachers. I don't find in that list of questions that you're going to answer, that provinces have to answer or districts have to answer, there's nothing that says, are the right teachers, the teachers who are qualified to teach specific grades or phases or subjects, are they actually teaching those subjects? What are you doing about it, etc.? I don't see anything in here. I see reference to teacher competence, but that's a very different thing from being qualified. Is there any reference in here, and if not, why not? Linked to the teachers, there's a lot of reference, in fact, in the national strategy, in NSLA, to teacher training. But it's not, as far as I can see, it's not targeted training. How do you see that playing out? What to me would be ideal is, for instance, during IQMS, but I'm talking seriously now, this is in the ideal world. In IQMS or during the assessment, during the year, whoever's doing the assessment, the principal says to the teacher or the head of the department says to the teacher, I can see that you're struggling, we're getting across these concepts. This is the training that you need to go on in order to assist you with that. And the teacher then goes on that training, not the general generic stuff that everybody else goes on, but very targeted training. And I don't see that in the NSLA, which to me is the ideal. And I would appreciate your comments on that. On page 86 of your slides, to use Tim Whaley, there are what appears to be very startling figures. There's Northwest pre and post test, and most unfortunately for these teachers, their names are actually here. But their pre-test result is 16% and their post-test result is 32%. I don't know what, I presume it was mathematics, I don't know. But it's life sciences, I beg your pardon, it's life sciences. But that is astounding. That is very, very problematic. So is it, as we read it, and what gets done in cases like that? Those teachers shouldn't be here, actually. And then my last question for now is just on page 91. You spoke of learner support. Now, you know I'm from the Eastern Cape, so I take special interest in that. And I look at page 91, which is headed Eastern Cape Learner Support. And there are radio lessons in partnership with community radio. I should imagine that actually community radio is doing the lessons. I don't know. Maybe you can help there. Then there are telematics centres. Don't need to say that anybody's really trained there. There is planning of a career expo. There are things like an essay writing competition. That's real learner support. That's extracurricular. And then there is a launch of the learner attainment improvement strategy with some posters and a little booklet. I don't really see much in the line of learner support, but there might be a superficial discussion, and there might be a lot more under the surface. So if you could explain that, I would appreciate it. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Mujeki, thank you very much. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members, and thank you, Mr. Mujeki, for the presentation. Mine is very brief. What is the Department of Education going to do about the lagging, and it puts it right off the Eastern Cape? Every time presentations take place, be it Mombasa City, it says the Eastern Cape is always behind.
maybe change the poor results at the end of the day. I'm a bit concerned where they come from, Eastern Cape, and the conditions of schools there in terms of this. I'm just showing the violence that is taking place in some of the schools, e.g. Adol Madiana in Makata. If the department can make a follow-up. On Thursday last week, a teacher has been killed. He was walking towards the bridge at night, that is last Thursday. Now, you don't know whether it is linked with the school children or just ordinary crime, because the children carry knives, and then if the teachers reprimand them, or maybe them, I was thinking to the head boy, who is saying if you report these boys, then they threaten that out of school, they make sure they kill. So I don't know what the department can do in checking schools like that. Lastly, I'd also like the Department of Education to check in the central district, Ward 17, France, the Nigeria school. There, the teachers were given computers or tablets to give to students. It took a whole year after today. Those tablets are being used because they are scared to be given to the children because of background. But now, why not report and something can be done? Keeping the tablet for the whole year and then the students you think are studying and yet they are not being given that kind of facility. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Member Mamanjere. Honorable Kosha.
Thank you, Chair. I just want maybe clarify on a few issues here. Firstly, I want to check how possible is it that Limpopo doing well in higher grade than in the lower grade. They not, I mean, maybe it has changed versus the experience that I have that the concentration given much on higher classes than on lower classes. Because normally that is done, you have teachers that these are just grade 8 teachers. So they can be, they can rotate with their learners and up to grade 5. Some other institutions does that when you take the grade 8, you take them up with you as a teacher to grade 12 and go and start afresh. But those that are with this problem, they only progress in a higher grade, but what happens on the lower grade? I think we need to take much serious on that. Secondly, it's on the provinces that were visited. That is, you said 8 provinces were visited, one was not available. When you went further, you on the 1.4, where I will also need clarity on 1.4, you mentioned the very same province. That is not that. How are they affecting your performance as department? Are they meeting your expectations, those that are not cooperating? I think if they are not available for you, sometimes we might be having a challenge where it will affect your performance as a department. How are they affecting? Are we not maybe, if I may ask, are we not allowing to create what I call a false start in the country that we don't need today? Yeah. And on page 16, I just need clarity on the signed and unsigned report. What does it mean? Are they authentic, those that are not signed? How do you take them? Is it coming really from the department that you are expecting to be receiving questions? Last but clarity again, it's all who do we call a progress learner? Are we not going back to pass one, pass all? I don't understand what you mean by
progress, what do we call it, really? That is a problem, because we know that there are those that are less than those that are less gifted. Then there, those that do not do attend school, those that do not attend school. Then how do we say this is a progress? Who do, how do we select them? And maybe lastly, it's on ICT, and there's a challenge here, Chairperson, that we need maybe to assist the I don't know how department will assist them, because there are those schools that are getting some donations from companies this equipment of computers and the like, but they have been sought and are not utilized. And I'm talking to a situation where we are in a community that is really poor, not well informed. The SGB, you know, we're talking SGB that are elected that day, remain to the chairperson for the rest of the period of elections. Also, that chairperson is also not informed that he or she can be able to check as to whether those materials, donated materials, are utilized or not. How are they being monitored? Because it's like the people who are giving us this donation, they normally or will not come back to us to check as to whether we're using them. Thank you very much.
I'll take that as the first round of questions. Department can respond.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to allow colleagues to help me in responding to the questions. And I'll just come back after the first responding to the first batch of questions, and then I'll pick on those that we have not covered, if you allow us to handle the questions.
Thank you very much, Chief President. I was looking at the NSLA framework, particularly at the section on teacher development, because in the reports that we expect from the provinces, they need to indicate what specific areas they have been training people on. So we're not too interested in the generic training that is done, but they need to indicate what is the content that has been done within the training. And it really is based on, some of the deficiencies that have been found with respect to the analysis of both the ANA as well as the NSC. So, for example, if we take an area like math work in geography, and Mr. Mwili made reference to the subject committee, the subject profile, the subject profile would indicate what are the continuous areas where teachers have difficulty or learners have difficulty because of the lack of content knowledge by the teachers. And so it's really based on the analysis of the ANA as well as the NSC that the teacher training happens. So it is targeted training or should be targeted training, and we monitor that through the reports that we receive with respect to the NSLA report. I think that we probably have done the Eastern Cape disservice with respect to what it is that is offered in terms of the ICT support. It is support that is offered in terms of lessons, on the radio, as well as materials that are offered, print materials to support that. I think that we look at how to make it more explicit as to what it is that is being provided for. As Mr. Mwili mentioned, some of the provinces, when we go to the province, we don't just meet the provincial officials, but we really go down to the district officials, because they're the ones that have the direct contact with the schools. And we do try to address some of the challenges that we experience, particularly in the Eastern Cape, through those interventions. I think Mr. Mweli in his presentation also indicated that we're really trying to investigate what are some of the critical reasons why, for example, in a place like Limpopo, there's such a big disparity between the results for the lower classes and then, the better performance in terms of the higher classes. One of it is, as Mr. Mweli mentioned in his presentation, the culling of learners, and so you would have less learners going into your grade 10 than those that are in the grade 9. So they keep the ones that are not performing well, or they leave the system and do other things, but don't progress into the FET phase. Some of it is about the competency of the teachers, but I think that sometimes what also happens in the FET is that they really put to the examination. And so, they tend to focus on questions and how to answer the questions. And so it does, leave quite a bit out of the what it is that should be done. The schedule would describe the 1+4, and I think Mr. Mweli will talk to how we're addressing the Western Cape. The information that we see from the provinces, even if it's an unsigned report, we list it as unsigned, so that when we present the report from the NFL to the Head of Education, people don't like to see that they have not fulfilled what they should have fulfilled by signing the report. We think that the information is authentic because part of what we do is to verify the information in the report. But we will show you that in the second term that situation would have changed because provinces don't like to see that they haven't met the criteria that has been set. I'm going to leave all the easy questions to Mr. Mweli, like who is the progress learner? And I think that with respect to the donations that schools have received and the utilization of the materials, that is also one of the areas that we focus on, particularly with respect to ICT in the report. And I think that the point made about the elections and the competencies of the SGB is something that I think we will pick up with the management section, because it's not explicit, and it might be that we need to make it more explicit. Thanks, Chief.
Good morning, honourable members. I have played in the 1+4 around senior phase benefits support. With the release of last year's results in the honour, in grade 9, it was very clear that there were problems, serious problems, it was at 10.7%. And the CEM that contained gave a directive that we needed to do something urgent. And then at meeting was called with the PDCM, the Development and Curriculum People, on the 3rd of December. And we talked about what the way forward in us trying to support the provinces for them to be able to support the teachers. And then us in the senior phase, at 8 and 9. And we realized that there were a lot of neglect, as you see with the results, that most of provinces, the annual results are very, very low. And in the same schools where you find that the grade 12 learners are doing very, very well, and in the same schools, the grade 9 learners are doing very bad. So we came up with this support for teachers that was adopted, and the provinces committed themselves supporting the teacher. So the one stands for the way that the teachers meet and collaborate and sit together and plan for the lessons that they're going to be teaching for the week, so that there should not be any content within the curriculum that they do not attempt to teach it. Because we all know that when you include the research and what research has said through the years, that the quality of teachers that we have, they are competency levels in terms of mathematics teaching and the pedagogy content knowledge that they have, the methodology of how to impart this knowledge, even those that have the content knowledge. Because when you look at the quality of the teachers that we have these days, they are fully qualified, then they struggle to impart the information to the learners in a manner that will be able to build the necessary conceptual skills for the learners, for them to be able to build those foundational skills, for them to be able to move on and do the mathematics that is needed in the higher classes. So the one is about where teachers come together and they sit together and collaborate and they plan around what it is that they're going to be teaching. And then the strength of this is when they do a pre-test for them to be able to see their competency level with regards to a particular topic and the required necessary mathematical skills around a particular topic for them to be able to say, and then you can measure that, and then at the end after they've been worked together and supported each other, and when they're to be able to teach this content to the learners and be able to assist the learners to be able to develop the necessary skills. So that's what the one plus four is. So different provinces, initially the one plus four was to use the e-Monday because there are several programs that are running already in provinces and geared towards 3, 10, 11 and 12 learners, and they're nothing really organized for the senior thing. So using e-Monday, you say for instance, and then the teachers meet and then they use the other 4 days to teach us. The program is in such a way that provinces are using differentiated methods where like Free State are using the teachers meet after 2 weeks in housing, they're still preparing themselves. But there are several programs that are running around this intervention around senior base, making sure that there is a dedicated support for the teachers that are teaching grade 8 and 9 mathematics for them to be able to develop the necessary skills for the learners. I hope that's answered.
Jefferson, I'm not sure whether Honorable Lovemore was also saying, don't only explain the dot, but connect the dots. For nothing key. Well, part of what Honorable Khoza shared with the meeting is some of the underpinning problems. Historically, the lower grades have not been taken seriously. Even the monitoring was just... Before Anna, there was nothing. There was nothing that could determine as to whether there's real teaching. And I want to link it to what Mrs. Samuel says. I mean, said vis-à-vis the issue of IQMS. Truly speaking, a lot of what is in IQMS is not worth the paper it's written on. It's a wish list. It's not informed by anything. The real level proxy is the performance of learners, which is what the world uses. The competency of teachers can be traced to the performance of learners in many ways, whether you talk content or pedagogy. Because successful curriculum implementation is not about covering topics only. It's about getting feedback whether what was taught has been learned and to what extent it has been learned. That's full curriculum coverage, if you are able to get that feedback. So what we are using, and ever since we started using the results of ANA, we are getting the true picture of what historically has been the black box in the South African schooling system. The black box, where you get to know about it only in grade 12. It only shows in grade 12, and all along, you know, learners have just been progressing with huge cognitive skills and knowledge gaps. And therefore, that's why Honorable Lovemore, the IQMS, I think, is the beginning. We need to, strengthen it. But learner performance is the proxy that we are using to tell us about not only the competence of teachers, even the level of support that teachers are getting from subject advisors, apart from the satisfaction survey that we conduct for teachers and principals. We also use the same, because we are saying if learners are performing at this level, it's a reflection of the support of subject advisors. Subject advisors have to prove otherwise that indeed they've done what was required of them. So we use it also. In fact, the training was not only for teachers. I think I should have indicated this before. Through 1+4, we also discovered that some of the subject advisors that we have, and I shouldn't be very loud on this one, are not worth the title that they are carrying. Quite honestly,
some of them shouldn't have been there. And in fact, some of them approached district officials and requested them that they must move them out of Nathan's site. Because they discovered that we are now measuring their competence. If you are competent in that, write the test. The results of the test will tell us whether you are competent or not. And then after that, we can talk. And we got very interesting feedback. And remember, the first time that it happens in South Africa, before it never happened. And in countries like Singapore and Australia, it's regular. Teachers have to go for regular tests to determine their competence. I went for an interview recently. I went for a competence test. And I even went for that a few years ago. I just take them, even if I don't go for interviews, to test my competence. And that's why I want to even introduce it, start saying, for all principals it's compulsory, for all SMS members it's compulsory, and then take it to teachers. You will see it will improve the performance of the system. And it's got to be done regularly. Then the connecting the dots, Honorable Lovemore, all that it says is that we've been presiding over a general education and training event which did not receive the requisite stewardship. There was not proper monitoring there. I mean, during redeployment, I know I come from a province, people were very happy to be redeployed from high schools to primary schools. You go there, you can rest, you work at your own pace, it's not really monitoring. That was before ANA. But now, part of the reason why people don't like ANA, because ANA now tells us who's going to that, who's teaching, and who's doing the teaching in a correct manner. And that's why there's some groundswell of dissatisfaction around ANA. Some people are even saying, don't do it every year, do it every 3 years. And I'm saying, we inherited a dysfunctional system. Until the system is functional, it might be legitimate that we do it every year. Until it stabilizes in the system, then can go back and say we do it every 3 years and so on. Okay, I agree with you that ideally, I mean, talking about page 86 in the Northwest, some of the teachers shouldn't be teaching in the classroom, if they perform at that level. Unfortunately, these are the teachers that we have. And I really don't want to waste your time to get into history. I mean, our data says, in terms of the level of qualification, we are at 98%. Teachers were fully qualified for the job, 98%. But the results indicate something different. It says a lot. If you remember, there was a presentation made by Dr. Green and Dr. Michaela. I was part of that meeting where they made a presentation to you, showing major discrepancies in our teacher development programs, particularly initial teacher development programs. Many of these qualified teachers are really not truly qualified. And I need to put it in such a way that I don't throw stones. It's a reflection of the quality of our teacher development progress. And yes, not only higher education, even our own initial and continuing teacher development programs, we said, let's reflect. Any training that happens, we must be able to measure its impact. If we don't do that, it's wasteful and fruitless expenditure. We must be able to measure the impact of training. And Marie has indicated that we now use the diagnostic report to target specific weaknesses. If it's in shape, we focus on shape. If it's about numbers, we deal with numbers. And that data is available internationally and national tests. ANA will tell you where are the learners doing badly. And we use that to target teacher training. Honorable Majek, what we will do, we'll follow up on these schools that you have shared information with us so that we get details and intervene correctly. School safety remains a challenge for the system. I mean, not long ago, about a month or so, one learner was stabbed and the learner died in one school in Gauteng. I mean, it's a huge challenge for the center.
So honestly speaking, I think school is still a challenge in the system. And again, Honorable Ngumi, you are right, but the MEC in Honorable Kosa. Yeah, sorry, Honorable Kosa, sorry. The MEC from the Western Cape, in one of the meetings where we presented the Anna results, she said very startling revelations. She said, principals and teachers in my schools are saying the reason why the results are so bad in grade 7, 8 and 9 is because particularly grade 8 and 9 is the resting place for people who are teaching in grade 12 and 11 if they teach in those grades. What it means is that people know that there's not much monitoring, there's no pressure for them to perform in those lower grades, and therefore they really don't do what is expected of them. And now because they're following up on the results of ANA and the utilization of ANA, we are saying to every school, analyze your results, come up with targets, and tell us how you're going to improve those results. We hope that will bring that to an end. But if an MEC says that, it means it's very serious. People focus on grade 12, and they go and rest in grade 8 and 9, because nobody watches there. If somebody watching, they don't watch with the same intensity as in grade 12. Because in all grade 12, the results are going to be publicized. These other grades, the results are not really publicized. Even if they are publicized in ANA, they are not taken that serious. So that's why we started saying all grades are important. We are focusing on all of them. So that accounts for the lower performance in Limpopo. The same applies to Northern Cape 39. And 72. In Limpopo, 30-something and 20-something, 80-something. In the lower grade, in fact, if you speak to teachers in high school, they say teachers in primary schools are creating a problem. When the results drop, it's because teachers in primary school have not done what they were supposed to do. Well, Ms. Samuels covered the... Even if the result, I mean, the report is not signed, it is still authentic. What is expecting to happen is that it might be signed by the HOD. Ideally, it might be signed by the HOD, but it would come from an official of the department, so it would still be an authentic report. But it would just miss the, what would be needed would be the signature of the HOD. Progress learners are condoned learners, and I want to harp on this again. It's nothing out of the ordinary. It's been happening before. It's happening worldwide. Very few countries allow for learners to teach. But the difference between us and them is that they've got strong learner intervention and support programs. And they say, instead of keeping Wally in grade 8, when he's supposed to be in grade 9, let's take him to grade 9. The first 3 months, we're going to provide intense intervention and support so that what was missing from grade 8 is covered quickly, so that this learner is on par and is able to move with the rest of the learners. And that's what we are trying to do at the moment through the NCLA. As provinces, we have targeted support for learners, individual and collectively. And we are moving. I can say that we are not there, but at least, I mean, we share data with you. Provinces are able to track each and every learner, how are they progressing now. In the past, nobody cares about how these learners fed, where the learners are, what kind of support and intervention is provided. Especially this year, we started focusing on progress learners. And these are what, in the language when you speak teaching, used to be called condoned learners. I think I've covered what was not
covered. Thank you. Can you talk the mic? Please talk the mic. Thank you very much. Is there any member that wants to raise questions? Honorable Love More, Kova. Okay. Can we take those?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I wanted just to go back to the teachers. I'm not going to harp on it because the teachers teaching the right is the thing that, for which they qualified. We were not actually answered. Have I missed this? Is it not in the strategy? And linked to that is teacher vacancy rate. Again, I'm from Eastern Cape. As at the end of last term, there were approximately 3,000 vacancies, I think. I don't see in this NSLA whether your teacher vacancies are being filled, any reporting on that, which seems to be a gap. But if it's not in here, how are you addressing that? And I just want to find out more about provinces tracking progress learners. Through you, Chair, Mr. Mee will be aware, I'm sure, that I raised a question recently on progress, the numbers of progress learners, how they've done at the end of last year, etc. Specifically in light of the fact that there was a new policy for FET, or the implementation of the policy, it's always been in place for quite a long time. The implementation of the FET phase is relatively new, say 2 years, I think.
Yes.
And at the end of last year, the Mr. Gazette has a proposal to change it back to what it was before. So my concern is that this is serious. This is something progressing or not progressing, something which can affect children's futures. And if you are changing policy from one to the other and back again, potentially, I don't know what the decision has been on that, then you must be doing it based on evidence. Now, certainly the evidence that I got as a response to my questions was severely lacking. It was different from province to province. You couldn't join the dots, as you said. You could not track the progress of progress learners. And I'm not, you said provinces are tracking the progress of progress learners. There's one slide here which shows the Western Cape. In fact, it's not headed progress learners, it says grade 12. It doesn't say progress learners. I think it is only grade 12. It is all grade 12, in fact. I don't think it's progress learners. Have you got some sort of template that you're using? How are you making sure, this is a national policy, how are you making sure that, first of all, that, let me just do an A and a B there, first of all, that it's implemented. I'm aware in the Eastern Cape, in one specific district, that they did not implement it. And there might be other districts, because they knew it would have too much of an impact, they just didn't implement it. There might be other districts that that did the same thing. But first of all, how are we making sure that it is actually implemented and that culling is not all taking place to a high degree? And secondly, how are you making sure that it is properly monitored, especially in light of the minister possibly wanting to change the policy? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you,
Honourable
Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
My follow-up is on 1+4. Really, when she explained it, I read it correctly. It's really a good thing. But my worry is when the provinces are to be implementing this thing differently. Because, you know, what you, Honorable Lazo, read on page 86, it's real. Teachers are gifted differently. And this 1+4, I see it as assisting. But there is one presentation, I forgot that the date when it was mentioned that there are those that are going to do 1+4 in June. It is not a 1.4 according to me. I don't know as to whether this Mr. Mueli is a policy or you're still going to make it a policy, but it is a policy. I think it needs to be implemented fully so that it assists us. Because now, in a presentation when I asked for more clarity, she said that even housing is doing it in 2 weeks. It's 1+9. Eh? You see? So that I'm going to do in June, I don't know if it's 1+40-something or plus 100. It's not going to assist in that way. But the way in which you are explaining 1+4, really, it makes sense. As I'm indicating that we do have less gifted teachers. That is why there is those things that you see Honorable Lovemore show you in page 86, that when you give them competence, how on earth do you expect a learner to attain 80% if his or her teacher is getting trained? maybe try to go back to that 1+4 and implement it correctly and uniformly. Thank you very much.
I just listened carefully to, you know, we've got 98% of our teachers are so qualified, et cetera, et cetera. And often you find teachers that are teaching subjects for which they did not study. So have the department ever came up with some sort of research to look at criteria for allowing students to study teaching? You know, there's a good example. If you wanted to be in CA, you had to have certain criteria that only allow so many people, so many students. It's like a demand and supply sort of thing. And I honestly think, I know, we come from a history where people mostly just want a job. And I'm not saying that you become a teacher, like in the old days, you become a secretary because that's the easiest thing to do, but I don't think it is, it should never be. But how do we make provision for these teachers to actually study and teach what they are good at, for what they have a passion for, and then our scarce subjects? Because you just go and study and find a school and teach something else. And I think that's where a part of our policy of education in areas comes as well. And I really, really think if you look at the development program, You can develop me until you blew in the face and spent millions of rand. If I am not passionate and almost born a teacher, I'm not going to be a good teacher. What are we doing? Are we doing some research to actually make sure that when people go and study teaching, which deals with the lives of children, that we actually make sure those are good teachers? It's not just somebody who wants to study.
Thank you very much for question. You know, when the word was presented, I had this issue of 98% teachers qualified. You know, what clicked into my mind is that qualified to do what? Qualified, because if you are qualified, you must have the skills to do something. I mean, qualified. But if you are a teacher with a diploma or a degree, you there's no skill that helps develop the learners. People are not qualified. You are just academic, you are not qualified. I don't know, because I was out a bit on the issue of this learner attainment. Whether we did check the issue of e-learner discipline. You know, sometimes blame can be put to teachers, yes. But when a child is constantly absent from school, what do you expect the teacher to be doing? Prepare the child? There's this thing which is, what do you call this the way? When you pass the mother, they must go with the horse, something the way they get.
Edge
cohort. And the child must not read it twice in a phase. And everyone now knows about those things. The parents know about it at one stage. There was this issue, the parents coming to a school saying, no, I know that my child has repeated this phase. Now the child must pass. Forgetting the child has not been coming to school constantly. Some of the assignments and projects that are needed by the principal and the teacher have not been done. But the child knows that he has to go to this. What do we do? What are we saying about the strategy? The interpretation of the curriculum. Are teachers on the same page with the curriculum implementers and the department? At one school, you will find that a child has written two projects. There was a 72-page college book like this. There are only two projects. And you ask the teacher why? No, the curriculum implementer or subject advisor told us that we must do two projects with them. And everything now is fine. You see, that is formal. Forgetting about the informal things that you said. And once you come and tell that, unions will come in. We come in and protect the teacher. Because we overemphasize the issue of, no, policy, forgetting that in the policy there are other elements of informal activities. The other issue here is the transfer, transfer of teachers. In the head court, when you are adopting SLA, it took this kind of on this issue of transfer. You know, there are these gentlemen's agreements that have been agreed between unions and some of the provinces. A teacher in September will just decide, now I want to transfer going home. I want to go home. And that particular time, there's a problem of getting a teacher for replacement of the teacher. You discuss those issues. The policy, when I read the policy, it says a teacher must do a what's called the period of 3 months before serving notice. Practically, that is not in the morning, the following morning, a teacher will come with a junior, put it on the table, sign it, and go away. If you don't, the support the teacher will get is from the district manager or from the office that is it, and the principal will be held back. The issue of support to the principal. The principal, most of the principal, you know, I like the other former, most of the same schools, Honorable Lavmo. You know, when you transfer, they will make sure that the transfer happens in between November. For example, when it's done, November, September, 5 the teacher is going to start in that school the following year in January. And they've been sending papers, you know, in news data that they did. But as with the other one in the black townships or schools, hey, if the union will come to me at you, who are you to stop the teacher? The other issue is the principal. The principal is deployed in September as a principal. The SLC is reluctant. They don't want to support the principal. Everything now is keeps it home. The one wants to support the principal. And when the result goes down, who's going to be blamed? The principal. No one coming to the teacher to support. And the issue of the subject, the subject with no teachers. A lot is this is blamed to the principal. Remember, he does not even have the car to run around looking for teachers. When he has to ask even his teachers from the second office of the district, no one is helping the principal. 3 months or 2 months passes with no support. It is really hard. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Ngun. I also have my questions. I'm I went through the report and saw somewhere where they say that President Nadal has not submitted a report, the NSLA report. I wanted to check what interventions or measures are you taking to ensure that is corrected. And given the fact that the UMALU meeting is coming in June, the meeting, and just to check how far ready are you in that meeting? Because you already have the first report, first quarter report, and then how far are you with preparing for that meeting? Because I think it's a very critical meeting. The other point that I wanted to take relate to the changes that you have done with regard to the NSLA. I know that you said that provinces have agreed and there were certain proposals for certain amendments in the policy which you have also adopted. I want to check with regard to the programs or plans from the provincial department with regard to the NSLA implementation, how are you going to make sure that there is a smooth transition between the things that were already on course and what is coming? Is there any transitional measures that are going to be undertaken to ensure that there is no break in the implementation process? The other point that I wanted to check relates to the issue of the differentiated support. How does it happen? Like last week we visited a school called Fairview. It's a primary school. They say it's a full service school. And there they say that the learners are treated individually based on their capacities. So how do you take that forward in a normal school, like where it's not called food services? One thing that impressed me, that I think is in use in the private or the non-teaching in one school and other schools, is the issue of support, teacher support in the classroom. Because I would suppose that if you have a teacher who is in a, maybe in a typical rural area that has got a high enrollment in class and there is supposed to be differentiated support or attention given to each layer, and there might be a lot of challenges if the teacher alone has to face a class of about 35, 43 learners in a classroom. So I want to know, how do you envisage it to happen? How does it happen? Because I would suppose that it's already happening. And then I have seen also, like, I was led to see that, like, I think the issue of supporting the girl child, the girl learner, I think it's a good initiative, but there might be negative outcomes as well. Like looking at that program of taking the girl child to work, there were a lot of dissatisfaction around why do you have to exclude the boy child, because at that level all children are equal. But at a different level, like at adulthood, I think that there's where a lot of differences and discrepancies would arise. So where are you practicing that? Is it all over the country, or there are certain areas that are filtered? It's a good initiative as a person who is struggling for women's rights and recognition and, you know, support. I don't think that we must continue with that program, because it causes that, you know, it creates a wedge, you know. Let's attend to them. Let's create an equal society. There is also a point that I noted with regard to the funding. I don't know, because there's a lot that I think, I don't know what is the budget of this to support the program that you are dealing with, because it seems that it must be having the bulk of the budget, given the fact that, like, if you look at the ECD level, there is somewhere where we talk about funding, and then if you go to the report there is somewhere where you speak about like the budget that you have as a unit be not utilized for the same purpose that we have intended it to happen. So let me stop there. I'll come back with other questions. Thank you very much.
Let me thank a lot of my colleagues who let me. Let me start from the bottom. The budget for the NLLA is usually bound in problem 2. Indeed, you are right, it constitutes one of the sizable cost drivers of the department, given the fact that the department deals with supporting learners. All programs do provide for the implementation of provincial improvement plans. They do all of them from the equitable share. So you locate it there as a cost driver. Over and above that, it happens in other programs. You're absolutely right again. For ECD, you also find it under Program 5 of ECD in provinces for education of learners with special education needs. You find a lot of activities that are related to the NSLA. I think it used to be Program 4. Yeah, it is Program 4. So, but the main one is in program 2. The bulk of the money lies in program 2. That's where you find this budget. Creating an equal society, my study of HR says in a society that is unequal, you treat people in an equal way with overall objective of meeting towards an equal society. And that is called equity. And historically, girl learners were neglected in participation in your methods and technology areas. Now you can't say on your marks, same marks, and then get set, ready, let's go run the same distance. When they got a deficit, you have to advance them so that in doing so, you play them in an equal footing. With the overall objective of creating an equal society. That's my understanding of it, I might be wrong. But that's how you reach equity. That's what the literature teaches me around creating an equal society. And that's what we are doing by focusing on girl learners. When we do have a specific problem with boy learners, particularly in the Western Cape and Northern Cape, we've got a high dropout rate of boy learners in the two provinces they are leading. And the reasons for that, there are a myriad of them, but people suspect that some of the activities like Gangsterism and others pull these boy learners out of school. We don't have a conclusive study around that, but Northern Cape and Western Cape got a very high percentage of boy learners drop out, the highest in the country. And it's an area that we are paying attention to because it's worrying. It means that we need to do something about boy learners in the two provinces to address that phenomenon. A differentiated approach, again, Chair, all of us who were trained as teachers, not taught, we know that teaching is about a differentiated approach. Unfortunately, we've lost all of that. I was trained in curriculum differentiation, that a classroom is not a monolithic environment. You find learners at different levels, different progressions level, at different cognitive levels. So your preparation and teaching must take into account. There are slow learners, but they can become president of the country. They can be pilots of this country if they are properly supported. And that's what we are also trying to bring back, which will engender a differentiated approach. And learners who experience different barriers to learning will require a different approach in getting them out of that. There are learners who got and even finding it difficult to mention it. But they can become stars if it's properly supported, if teaching is properly mediated to them. And that's what we call differentiated approach to learning. But you've raised a fundamental challenge to say, how does differentiated approach happen in overcrowded classrooms? It's a major challenge. In fact, provinces that are doing well on this, and I could give Western Cape as one of the provinces that are moving, getting in what we call remedial teachers and teacher assistants or assistant teachers will provide support, especially as the teacher moves with the rest of the learners, then the teacher assistant will be able to provide specific support to these learners who are struggling. Gauteng has also tried to implement that. I don't know whether they had money to continue with it. But that's why other countries are moving ahead of us, because these are some of the measures that they employ. Remedial teachers and teacher assistants to help to bring these learners who are lagging behind so that they have individual attention. And then alignment with provincial plans. Provincial plans are on board now. We did that 26th of January after 2018. We checked that the first meeting of our quarterly meetings. They are all on board. Their plans are aligned. The issue is implementation. And you have seen in the report, some of them They might be doing what we ask them to do, but that they are not reporting on those things, because the only way that we can determine whether they are doing what you expect them to do is when they reflect it in their reports. And when we go to schools and provinces to verify that, we find it. And those meetings have started taking place today. Readiness to meet with Uma Lucy. We've got some of the information, not all of it, it's work in progress. We'll be able to give them what we've got. We'll acknowledge upfront the gaps that are there, which we'll identify, communicated with provinces. We are working on those gaps. We're going to head call and say, these are the gaps. This is the time to plug on these gaps. If we don't plug on them, Uma Lucy will not listen to us. When we say, the performance of learners has improved because of these interventions, if we don't present evidence to demonstrate that that has happened. So it's work in progress as well. KZN has not submitted the NSLA report. I think Mrs. Samuels will respond to that. And then they can post. I should indicate that link it with what Honorable Lamo asked in the first stage of questions. Do we have the right teacher teaching the right subject and the right grade? That is done through a different branch, but the report feeds into the work that we are doing. The branch responsible for teachers has got what we call teacher profile. And it follows that up with analyzing what is on the PESA, whether the teachers that are employed are teaching the right subjects. In many instances, you find that that is not the case, Mrs. Fadimaras. And of course, a lot of it is attested to the redeployment exercise, that people end up not teaching the right subject because of redeployment. But we are dealing with that through the teacher profiling that is done virtually every year, which is updated by Mr. Kojan. There's a big data that Mr. Kojan has put together, and I'm sure if I ask him to share it with you, it will be very interesting information to take you through. We will tell you the level of qualifications, the areas where teachers are qualified, even the experience, and what teachers are teaching, schools that they are based, and so on. And the impact of the services. And even level of vacancies, vacant posts. How long has the post been vacant? For what subject? And so on. So that is available as well. But if push comes to show, we even ask subject advisors to bridge the gap in the interim. I know that in many districts that try to do that, subject advisors arranging with schools that are affected, especially in the state subject, helping to teach, where schools are able to get teachers, particularly in your math, science and technology areas. Well, support to principals, there is support that principals are getting, but what I've also learned that if principals demonstrate that they know what they are doing, very few teachers will take them for a ride. I worked in the Eastern Cape for 2 years. What I have found is that unions in the Eastern Cape are not different from the unions that I was used to in the Northwest. The problem was with officials. The officials, had too much allegiance to the unions, to the extent that they would even leak out information and allow unions to do what they are not supposed to do. Unions are able to make a determination, analyze the situation, and check whether you know what you're supposed to do, you are able to draw the line. If you are able to do that, they treat you with respect. And that's what I got from the ECB. I would tell them that, no, this is a management prerogative. Yeah, it's not an issue of, negotiations. There's nothing of mutual concern in terms of negotiations. If you draw the line, they treat you with respect, you get along with them, you get the work done. You do get some officials in the ECB who are able to do that. Districts that are able to do well are districts of officials who know what they are expected to do, what the role of the union is, who are able to draw them. The issue of the transfer of educators, I do agree that at times it happens at overtimes and it's not properly managed.
we are trying to get provinces to deal with that and make sure that that is attended to. Maybe at this stage, let me also, because Honorable Khoza, Khoza, it's Khoza and Khoza.
No, no, I cannot understand that.
He's asked the question as to what happens to provinces that do not cooperate. We didn't answer that question earlier. Well, it's, honestly, if the provinces look, we are not ready for you, we accept that. But at some point, we expect them to come back to us and say, we are not ready, we are not ready. And it's not optional for provinces to allow us to come or not. Section 3 and Section 4 of the National Education Policy Act is very clear. Section 3 says the national department must set norms and standards for providing education. Section 4 says the minister is obliged to monitor whether education standards are in keeping with what is in Section 3. And when we go out as GDE officials, at least the team that I'm part of, is to carry out those sections. One, to make sure we have set the right norms and standards. Are they working on it? Two, to monitor whether they are complied with. If they are not complied with, what are the problems so that we address those problems? So we negotiate, we talk, but it's a legislative obligation that all of us need to respect and carry out. Are we sure that teachers are on the same page in terms of curriculum implementation? Well, I cannot answer with a definite yes, but I can only tell you what we have done to make sure that on the same page. The presidency is carrying out a large study which will tell us whether CHEP's implementation is done properly or not, whether teachers are on the same page or not. And remember, the training that we carried out was for orientation. We still expected districts and the province to continue with content-based training on methodology and so on, because curricula will change, but you know the basic techniques of teaching and skills and knowledge, what is basic, teachers should be able to do that, and the rest we just improve on the basics. The issue of progress learners, coincidentally, about, was it last week when we had joined me at the CDCF, we reflected on the implementation of the policy on progress learning. We picked up some lessons, some of them are that we need to come up with a threshold. We need to consider a threshold. There are instances where learners are taking advantage of the policy. Some of them hardly come to school, and we think that will be sending a very wrong message if we continue to progress such learners. And therefore, we need to come up with a threshold. But it also speaks to the level of monitoring of the system, because such learners ideally shouldn't be allowed to progress. They shouldn't, because they've got nothing to progress with. Yeah, they virtually have nothing. So we come up with measures to make sure that the policy is not at least. And I'm so happy that the honorable members say themselves, one of the main reasons why the policy of progress learners was conceived or insisted on implementation in every event is the killing of learners, the gatekeeping of learners. The data is there in abundance. The schools are happy to progress them, until they read from grade 9, beginning grade 10, the numbers go up of learners who are retained. Grade 11 has the highest level of retention of learners. The reasons are very obvious. If you are not fit for purpose, if you are not going to give us good results in grade 12, we don't allow you to progress. So that's one of the main reasons why the policy on progress learners was introduced to the level of even taking it to regulations. And also, what the minister published was a change which was required by independent schools, not for all schools. Independent schools wanted to be given a special dispensation, not to be treated the same way as public schools. And that consideration has been taken for them. It was not about reversing the entire provision to what it used to be.
was to afford independent schools that special dispensation to use their own bureaucracy in allowing them to progress. And they made a compelling pitch. They said the history of the problem cannot be tracked with them. It is prevalent in public schools. It only legitimates and forces in public schools. So for us, it was a compelling case and continuing to monitor whether the phenomenon doesn't grow there as well. Learner discipline, I've addressed that. We are also attending to issues that relate to discipline so that they are not conflicted with undermining the implementation of the policy. Professional qualification, you'll be surprised, Honorable Mkuni, that the 98% that I'm talking about are people who've got professional qualifications. But remember the presentation that was made by Dr. Green and Dr. Taylor, which talked about the size, the shape, and substance. The major problem is the substance. Substance of the qualifications. Many of these universities, especially post 1994, which took over the responsibility of training teachers, didn't pay attention to quality. And that's what we are dealing with at the moment. And of course, I must qualify, it's not all of them, and that's why I'm saying not all of them, are meeting the criteria of you know, quality programs for initial teacher development. We do have, studies that are carried out in terms of determining the demand, supply, and utilization. But I think the issues are what I have raised. One is the matching and placement of teachers. Teachers who are properly qualified, some of them are not placed in the right subject, the right grade at times. Somebody is qualified to teach in a high school, placed in a primary school. And you got that mismatch. The teacher profile and the placement that I referred to, Mr. Kojani, is attempting to do that, putting together the data, taking it up with provinces and saying, take teachers appropriately and give them deadlines to do that. So we do have a mechanism to try and manage this. Even in terms of people who join the teaching profession, who get to universities to study teaching, we do indicate to them the needs that are in this area. If you funded by government, we always say opportunities are in this area. The main focus has been in the foundation phase, and we have now moved to the intermediate phase and senior phase for programs that the department is funding with schools and shelters. Well, Honorable Kosa, am I correct this time? Honorable Kosa, 1+4. No, the role of a national department is to determine policy and determine norms and standards. 1+4 is not necessarily a policy, it's a modality for implementation. What we did, we came up with this modality, the means for dealing with insufficiencies in teacher development, and we sold it to provinces, and we encouraged provinces to buy it. Because it's not necessarily our purview to come up with modalities, it's the responsibility of provinces. We give them, if they don't take what we ask them to do, next time around, we are not negotiating with them. We simply tell them that, look, we gave you a means to improve this. You have not taken advantage of it. You now have to tell us why you have not done so. Because if you've got an alternative, we allow you to implement your alternative. Because it's the purview of provincial education departments. Ours is to develop policies and national standards and monitor implementation. So we are not hard in saying 1+4 FE. If you've got an alternative model, it's fine. But it will also tell you whether what you came up with is working or not. If it's not working, we'll ask you, why do you stick to what is not working? Then you have to convince us as to why you do that. And then, I hope this is the last one, last batch, and Marie will cover the ones that I have not covered. Honorable Lovemore, about progress learners, I spoke to that, and even explained what the minister published for public comments. Honorable Lovemore, tracking the progress of progress learners is a deliverable of the NLLA. It's there.
we might have not reported in all instances about it, but it's definitely there. We insist. But in their report, they give us the interventions and support programs for progress learners, and they show us impact, whether these learners are progressing or not. All nine education departments, all of
them. Sorry,
just all grades or any grade level? Initially, we're focusing on grades 11 to 12. They have come said all grades, but all grades and provinces have not really been able to give us information for all grades. They have not been able. In the main, they would give us grade 11 learners going to grade 12. So we still insisting on that they must give us information on all grades. Yeah.
Okay, before you proceed, I have noted a hand from Honorable Bashon, so I didn't want to open for the third round. So now I'm going to just ask him to pause and let her raise her question so that you are able to cover it in the responses. Thank you very much. Please press there.
Thank you, Chairperson, for giving me this opportunity with apology to join you late reported. It's not, it's just a follow-up. I know that you will not give us the third round. It's just a follow-up. The follow-up is on the remedial and assistant teachers that are found being fruitful in Western Cape for learners. Why is it implemented only in Western Cape, not in other provinces? And it's been becoming now in this uniform that other provinces are practicing this and others are practicing. Because this problem of learners who are not progressing is mainly found in rural areas where there are multi-grade classes and multi-grade or multi-phase teaching. So for teachers in such areas to have assistant teachers or remedial teachers, it will be good. Are there still remedial teachers in the system? That's a question. Last 2 weeks, as you have mentioned, we visited one of the full service schools, Liwa in Yanga. This Liwa, we were surprised when we arrived here in the school. We played with the learners, they were playing and what. Is this school a full service school or is? Because we thought that we'll see the learners with different disabilities. But when they said down the road there's a special school, so we noticed. My question is on this full service schools. How do we identify full service schools without resources and support? The full service school like that, you are being a full service school since 2010. But not registered. How do we support such things? Inclusive Education, have been feeling this again. The infant health has to them. They gave us the scope of their work up to KZN. But what we have noticed, they are only working with certain schools in a province. Now, my question is, why don't we support such initiatives whereby learners who are not disabled but are hard to be taught or are not progressing? I have noticed in 870 where we are given the progressed learners report from grade R up to grade 12, that is Northern Cape. I notice the bulk of learners that are progressed. How do we expect that these learners can reach or pass grade 12 if more than 1,000 learners have been just in progress and we don't have this assistance teacher? Because we know that it is that only the previously disadvantaged schools that are having problems with learners, bulk of learners that are failing. And what is the cause? Because these resources are not there and are still there. How are we working forward to support these schools that they have the similar resources that the other schools had in order to support them? Lastly, the redundant teacher, I will say redundant, because there are teachers we noticed in case at the beginning of the year when we visited, that the bulk of the location of the province, even if it is for what is being used for salaries or for compensation of the teacher, because they have more teachers than supposed to have in their in their allocation. Why they have redundant teachers? They have those people can't teach. What initiatives do we have to assist in that these teachers should be reskilled and to be able to be used in the system fruitfully? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Basson. I think Honorable Basson raised a lending apology that because of the transport problems from the Northern Cape, there's no flight.
And also Northern Cape on the port, because
so, you know, there's a small question that I wanted to ask. I know that I have said that I'm closing with Honorable Basson, but I think I must ask this man. On the issue of teacher morale, what are you doing? That, how do you motivate them? And then also the issue of language. We know that language is always a barrier. The language of instruction always creates a perception that teachers are not competent, whereas they are not competent in the language. How do you ensure that you address that so that it doesn't impact on the results? The last maybe is the issue of, I don't know, this program that goes on SABC, for out there, where they teach matriculant math, physically, all the subjects, is it an initiative of the department? And then, if so, why are you not capturing it as part of the report? Because in one of the pages you highlighted that Eastern Cape is doing radio, and I think it's one area where the department has been doing quite good, and it has been happening for a very long time. Also the issue of Fiavula, why are you not reporting on it? Because I think it's a very concrete intervention that you are taking to assist learners at home without really having them traveling somewhere or whatever. Thank you, Chair.
The last two questions, they seem afraid that I'm getting redundant because they are taking my job, and you were raising points that we did not include yet. We excluded them. In fact, you are right. One of the initiatives is a DDE TV channel, which we're running with MultiChoice. Which is providing support to learners on selected subjects of difficulty. So we did not include that yet. But you'll see when we put together evidence-based report, this is the main what is happening in provinces. DBE driven initiatives are not really captured here. So when we put together the evidence-based report, we come up with DBE driven initiatives, provincial driven initiatives, and then we put that in as part of the evidence-based report. So next time we'll make sure that we include that, some of the initiatives that are driven by DBE, where we work together with multi-tracks, SNC, and so on. So we'll definitely do that. The language of learning and teaching, we do that from the foundation phase. We've been working with the British Council. We've included that in the report. It's also in the report where we talk about PAL, sight health, and sight health. It's a certificate in the learning of English in primary schools, the other one is for secondary schools. So we've been running programs on that. We also started implementing what we call language across the curriculum. If you go from grade 4 to 12, it's English across the curriculum. Those are specific interventions focusing on the proficiency and the utility of English in subjects. And what we started emphasizing is that every teacher teaching in English is an English teacher. It's not a baby only of the teacher teaching English as a language. So everyone who uses English as long is an English teacher and must make a contribution to improve that. The same is the foundation phase. Everyone who teaches in mother tongue is a mother tongue teacher. Not a mother tongue specialist, but it's a mother tongue teacher. Mother tongue specialist is the language specialist. So we make that emphasis. So that is taken care of. Teacher morale, for now, what I can pull out of the curve, it's mainly around our National Teaching Awards, which we are very proud of, and I think they've grown over the years. This year, I mean, the recent ones outperformed the previous ones, but I'm sure we can do more. And the other incentive is, of course, to boost teacher morale, is affording teachers to continue studying in specific areas of need. And I'm sure we can. But for me, having been trained as an HR practitioner as well, the real motivation and incentive is in development and support. Motivation and incentive is not only monetary, in other words, money. And we have to neglect that in the public service. If people are developed, they acquire new knowledge, new skills, it begins to motivate them. It opens up, it induces more interest in the area of responsibility. And that's what, if one day I'm asked as to what are the interventions that we come up with, is to raise the profile of the importance of development programs and link them to career pathing of employees and then begin to develop more interest in that area. And then coming back to Honorable Basson, and I think I had really covered the ones that were asked before. Honorable Basson, I think the first question was around, the radial and assistant teachers. It's making difficult choices in very limited with limited resources. All these provinces get more or less equitably the same. If you look at the learner teacher ratio of the Western Cape, it's very high. It's very high. It's not favorable as compared to other provinces. Now it depends where you want to spend your money. You want to spend it, where more teachers, more favorable teacher ratio, or you want to take a difficult choice of having unfavorable teacher ratio, but provide support to teachers who have large exercise. In Singapore, they use ICT. And in Singapore and other countries and China included, they say there's nothing wrong with a very big class. In fact, you can even support it by using ICT. And then you move your resources, you invest them in ICT, which is what Gauteng is doing. Gauteng is now moving in that direction, investing their resources in ICT, so that ICT will support teachers to improve, support both learners and teachers in improving learning outcomes. So all that I'm saying is that it doesn't mean that Western Cape is getting more money than other provinces. The same thing at the teacher assistance as well. It's about difficult choices that you have to make as a province. But we have huge wastage in the system. And you really touched it on the now. The wastage around, I wouldn't call them regarding teachers. I would call them teachers in addition. But they are many provinces they have not mastered the big elephant of managing the salary deal through managing teachers in addition. And that's where the wastage is happening. The large wastage of the system is there. You're not being able to make sure that every teacher is gainfully employed. Is properly deployed, teaching the subjects that they are qualified for, and teaching the requisite number of learners and classes. And many schools do not adhere to the norm of even teaching, number of hours that teachers should be teaching. That's where the wastage is. The other area of wastage is getting teachers who are not qualified to teach certain subjects and get them to teach the subjects. It's wastage because learners are not gaining, and in the course of it, teachers are also not used for areas that they are qualified in. Full-time schools, maybe we must agree, Chair, that at some point we must come and present to you our report on progress in implementing white paper fit. You will see the kind of investment that the country has made in even supporting full-service schools. Full-service schools are supposed to be resource schools to mainstream schools to provide support to them. And we'll also provide data on how full service schools have grown. How many do we have? What kind of support is provided there? What investment has been made? Which provinces were able to take advantage of the investment and use the profit up? So we'll be able to share that information with you. The learners who are being progressed, I will always maintain, and I still do, that progressed learners are a reflection of how we manage the system. It shows that we're not managing the system properly. Learners are not supported in the way that they should be supported. And therefore, they should not become victims of killing. We should find ways to support them, progress them, and then get them supported like it happens all over the world. That's how it should be. And for me, what surprised me, Chair, is that the issue of progress learners has become an issue. It hit even the public discourse. Simply because the policy started touching grade 10, 11, and 12. For all these years, it was implemented in lower grade. When it came to grade 10, 11, and 12, people started saying there's a problem. And I'm saying the way we look at the performance of the system has got to change. It's got to be holistic from grade R to grade 12. I think, Marie, you can help me. You can help me.
Thanks very much, Mr. Mwili. Just to go back to the KZN issue, we must apologize, but the initial report that we had did indicated that KZN hadn't submitted, but in fact the report was sent to the wrong person, and only when they saw the analysis that we did were they then able to, redirect us to the report. So apologies, and I think that the latest version indicates what they, that they have submitted. Just to mention to honourable members that once we receive the reports, all of the sections, there are 9 sections in the SLA, we do an analysis of what it is that the province has reported so that we can ensure that the next report is better than the previous one. We provided each of the provinces with information on how they can better report for each of the sections, and particularly with respect to the evidence-based report. As Mr. Mwili had mentioned, how to plug the gaps. I think there are just 2 other points that I want to make, Chairperson. The meeting of the 23rd of June, Mr. Mwili, includes multi-grade and rural schools, and I think that you know, some of the questions that have been raised, we will make sure incorporated into that presentation, as well as the implementation of inclusive education. And so the issues that have been raised with respect to the all service schools, we'll give a full briefing on that. And then the last point really is to say that in trying to address the inefficiencies in initial teacher training, there is a joint team of people between the Department of Basic Education and Higher Education. They do the initial evaluation of the programs that are offered, teacher qualifications, so that we can, you know, ensure that what the universities are providing gives you a balance of the academic knowledge and the pedagogical knowledge that is required for teaching. And that it's first done by that joint team, and then it is sent to the Council for Higher Education, you know, once they have satisfied the initial requirements. So I think that there is a process underway to try to ensure that what is done in terms of initial teacher training actually meets what it is that we are requiring. Thank you.
Members, I think that we have exhausted the issues for today's agenda in terms of the presentation by the department. But the reason that I got from Mr. Brown is that possibilities are that we might not have another meeting after this one. And we have already had several meetings, and we could not even deal with the reports that arose from those meetings. So I think maybe we should use this opportunity to adopt the minutes from those meetings, the minutes and reports, the 3 sets of minutes. I don't know whether there is a report. Let's take these few minutes that are remaining up to 12:30. I think we must deal with this in the next 20 minutes and we finish so that we go out for lunch. We must thank the department for the good presentation, the diligence, and we hope that we will push hard to make sure that this project is implemented to the fullest. Have a nice journey back.
I think the one thing about 5.
If you have a look at bullet point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 5, 4 from the bottom, the Department of Education.